5 minutes on the Mike Trout of the NBA, that's fine too.
Well, that's, I don't know if I'll lead us there on purpose, but we may land there.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Everyone,
it's a tough question because you're asking me like, who is the basketball player I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
It's my, it is Wizards Michael Jordan. And if you give me an hour, I'll fill it up with a reason why.
Okay.
Well, maybe White Sox Michael Jordan. All six NBA players that he knows now. Okay.
More bears. I think I can make that happen.
All right, gentlemen, throwing a little bit of a curveball here. We have a guest, and I am extremely, just very pleased to have Ryan Nanny on the show of multiple things, but I think most people would know you from Shutdown Fullcast. Ryan, welcome to Between Two Bears. Why are you here?
Because I was invited, first of all.
Oh, that's right.
I don't, you know, and I don't want to be
yes,
rude.
Yes, thank you so much for coming, Matt. Come on.
Be oh, that's right.
Thank you so much for coming here.
I'm here because I am a stupid man with stupid goals, and in 2023, that stupid goal is to appear on as a guest on as many podcasts as possible. Some of them I have some useful background in. I think that this will be more of that ilk. Some of them are hockey podcasts where I have nothing of usefulness to say unless people want it. Like, I'll just get this one out of the way. I say this on every hockey podcast. I liked it better when the Tampa Bay Lightning played at what is now known at Tropicana Field, because when the Lightning played there, they called it the Thunderdome, and that ruled. That's yeah. It. That's my hockey thing.
That's all you need. I have zero hockey knowledge. I'd like to, but it feels like a large barrier to entry, and not for me. So you are doing the 2023 podcast tour. Where did this idea come from? Because I think it's amazing. I love it.
I need a better origin story here. I just
just came up.
I realized that like being on podcasts is fun and is it's lower key than hosting a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like way lower key.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I should try to do that a lot. Like most things, it started from a normal thought, and then I have stretched it to its absurd extreme, which is, what if you did this as much as possible?
Yep.
To the alarm and detriment of your family.
Matt, I'd like to add two quick things. One, Ryan, I'm willing to bet you don't know this about me, but I also had a weird goal last year, and it was walking 1,000 miles.
Oh,
and if you're ever thinking of doing that, don't do it. Please don't walk 1,000 miles. There are so many better ways.
How close did you get? Did you do it, first of all?
I got 1,100. I really went for it. I'm a travel for work boy, so I got a lot of walking hours in front of me. I wasted just infinite hours. Second, and honestly, more importantly, Matt, have I told you the history of hockey in Waco? Are you familiar with it at all? Because you're going to love it. You honestly, all three of you might love this if you haven't heard before.
Right. I have not. You have a timer. I'm not going to tell you how long it is, but yeah.
Okay. All I need is 40 seconds. In the early thousands, there was a team called the Waco Wizards. They were a semi-pro team. And for 2 years because they were driven out by the Baptist church. Okay. That's all I got. Wizards didn't play well in the early thousands in Waco.
All right. That was worth it.
Hockey and Harry Potter. That was the two big ones of my church.
Can I ask one quick follow-up question? Was the 1,000 miles thing, was that because of the Vanessa Carlton song, or is it just a happy coincidence?
Well, it was actually because of the Proclaimer song, if you want me to tell my truth.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Evan, it really because of the Proclaimer song?
Okay, are you going to put that past me?
No.
It was because of the Proclaimer song.
Oh, God. Okay.
And really nothing else.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
I'm not here to judge. I'm not.
Good. Oh, I feel so safe here. This is good. You feel okay.
Anything else you want to get out of your system there, bud?
I got a Waco Wizards puck on my mantle. That's all I got for you. Okay. Oh, and a hoodie.
Good.
And a hoodie.
Good.
All right.
Good.
That's all I got.
Ryan, we are quickly approaching. Some would say we have started the new college football calendar. And the Baylor fan base has a problem. amongst many, I will say, of expectations. Not so much that they are always high, or not so much that they are always low, but that they seem to change and variate very rapidly with the calendar or with certain events. Spring ball is one of these events. Spring practice started today for Baylor. Do you have an understanding that this happens across the country where fans just are so excited for the season that spring ball throws them in a complete tizzy, or is something else going on that I'm missing?
I don't think this is exclusive to Baylor. I also think it is a byproduct not just of the football calendar, but of the literal sun. Like, oh. It is not a coincidence that this happens as we are all coming out of the literal darkness of winter.
Equinox.
And embracing, like, okay, it's nice outside again. We can start going outside and, you know, living life without the sun going down at 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that. So I think there is like a big part of it that is just about the season itself, the season of life itself.
I truly had not thought about
that. All
of
the sort of like hope and optimism that comes with it. And it just happens to court, because I think this is the same thing with spring training and baseball. Like, it's a different function, but I think there is nothing that I don't think there's anything you can say about how Baylor fans react to spring ball that wouldn't be true of almost every other FBS program. There are obviously going to be some exceptions. There are some teams where, like, the expectations are always at the top because they're supposed to be. Some where they are way lower because they're supposed to be. But by and large, this is the time of year where you start looking through the schedule and you start saying, like, yeah, I can see 10 wins. Like, some things got to fall, things got to fall a certain way, but I can see 10 wins on this schedule because you haven't played any of them yet. Of course you can see 10 wins.
You bring that up, and I originally went into this conversation thinking that I was going to be righteously critical of those who have extreme opinions one way or the other. And then it just occurred to me that I predicted 10-2 for Baylor last year, with 12-0 being more likely than 8-4. I said that multiple
you
places.
You said that. And multiple you said places. That after a loss, after a early loss.
Yeah, it's true. That's I did say that.
And then after another one, I think.
I did say that as well. Yep. Yeah.
You stuck to your guns. That's admirable.
I did stay as long as I possibly could. That is actually one of the core tenets of this little enterprise here, is lying as long as you possibly can. Atoning if you have to, but only if people make you. Yeah, that's absolutely.
It's not lying if you believe it, though. It's delusion. Mm. That's different.
I think the problem that Matt and I are running into recently is everyone lies, including us. We have been right a few times a few years ago and a year before that. And I think it's poisoned the well. I've lost enough, but I might need to lose more if I'm going to reach equilibrium. You know, that's kind of where I've landed.
You especially, need to lose a little bit.
What is the high you are like? What is the moment you are chasing? What is your
Yeah,
oh, this is
what
right
is the
up
thing
Evan's
where
alley.
You're like, oh, oh. I just like nailed. Okay. I saw it where nobody else saw it. What is?
Oh,
that?
I'll link yet. No, I won't send you any links. But 2 years ago, Baylor had lost 7 out of the 9 games they played, and I had a little bit too much to drink the week before we started, and I wrote an article that said Baylor is going to be good actually, and then we had our best season ever. So I have been sprinting victory laps for 2 years.
Sure.
And I need to come back down to earth. It's actually become a problem for me. I actually have a question. Okay. Do you have any dinner recommendations in Shreveport, Louisiana?
He ate at a Saltgrass steakhouse tonight, Ryan.
So
I'm eating at a Saltgrass steakhouse right now. no, I actually do have a real question. I was hoping that you've been to Shreveport before, because I love this place a lot. I try not to give context before questions because it's silly, but I'm going to do it anyway. playing it cool. I feel like if I was making a list of white whales, of people I want to talk to and hang out and do what we're doing, you do make that list for me. It's very embarrassing to say that, but it is true. So I kind of want to flip it on its head. Are there any sort of like white whales on your journey that you haven't yet been able to chat with that? Sorry, my Siri went off. Any white whales on your side that you haven't yet hung out with that you're still hoping to spend some time with on air?
That's a good question. There's nobody on air because, like, the people who I recognize what I do and don't bring to the table here, and I'm like, I don't need to go on Mina Kimes' podcast. She's much smarter. Like, what would I have to say? What would I have to offer there? I don't know if there isn't. I don't know if there's anybody in sports media specifically, and that is more of a function of just like having done this for a while and having had the chance to like casually meet a lot of people for a while. I have like I've met Chris Fowler, and I was like, wow, Chris Fowler A is like a super nice and genuine dude, and also is like in such good shape for a man of his age and experience. It's just like, wow, okay, yeah, you really do like take excellent care of yourself, just like you say on Instagram. It's not a lie. I don't know if I guess I would really like the opportunity to sit down with Steve Spurrier at some point.
Oh man. Ugh.
That would be fun. That would be
to be sitting down with Steve Spurrier.
But I got to tell you, I don't want it recorded because I know if I sit down with Steve Spurrier, I'm going to get roasted at some point, and I don't need that to live outside of my brain.
Yeah.
Would you bring so let's say it's a private but open invitation.
Yeah.
Old ball coach says, hey, you can bring anybody you want. You don't have to. It's up to you, whatever. Do you bring anybody with you? Any of the crew?
That's a good question.
I bring a camera crew for me.
I don't know if Spencer has met him. If Spencer hasn't, I would have to.
Yeah, you kind of have to. But if he has,
if he has at that point, no, I think I'm just going by myself.
Yeah,
frankly, like maybe I'd bring my 6-year-old daughter who has no context for this person, but is super chatty and like doesn't know who strangers are.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just to watch that happen and to get a picture. So that later I can be like, oh yeah, you talked Steve Spurrier's ear off about God knows what trashy Netflix show you were watching at the time that he didn't care about. But yeah, Spurrier is probably the one answer that leaps to mind.
That's a perfect,
answer.
The perfect answer and
the old ball coach.
A perfect parlay into my next question. So, you know, I imagine you get a bunch of people bringing you on here and wanting to just like rehash their favorite shutdown moments or full cast moments, right?
They'll try.
Yeah.
Like frequently, like I'm not kidding when I say I mostly forget the show after we tape.
Right. As do we.
So I'll do my best.
Evan is a psychopath and he'll go listen to every episode as soon as it drops. I don't understand.
That's, okay. Thank you. But the rationale, I joke with my girlfriend, I tell her I'm listening to game tape, but really, and it's something I'm actually trying to figure out because I am so bad at listening to other people's words while I'm thinking of my own. So I feel like I get to hang out with Matt twice because we do this and I have fun and I go to bed like, oh, so much fun with my boy Matt and Deontay, and then I'll listen to it and be like, yeah, Matt has some really good ideas. So there's a little bit of function to it. It's mostly vanity, but there's a tiny bit of utility that comes out of it.
As long as you can tell yourself that, I think that
counts. Yeah. 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 And I have been, and I probably will continue to.
So Ryan, my desire is not to like jump into the favorite Fullcast moments. I'm curious if you have any insight as to how this has been so sustainable, because how many years is it going on now?
Somebody pointed this out on Twitter the other day, and we're notoriously bad for keeping track of anything like this. Somebody said we're coming up on 10 years, which is a horrifying number. There's so many things you can do in 10 years. And stupid podcast is not high on the list of best ways to spend that time. But I think that is right. It is almost a decade.
So for us who apparently, by the way, welcome to our 50th episode. Not only you, Ryan, congrats. But everybody else didn't think this was going to happen, especially during the Barefa era where we thought it was going to be named Barefa. And if you don't know why we named it Barefa, please ask us on Twitter.
Ask us in person. If
ask
you would.
Us in person would be even better. Yes. The goal here is to, I think, just not quit for my own psyche. But if you have any tips or if you have any driving factors as to how you guys have made this last so long, allegedly this podcast that will never blow up and never be monetized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I hope nobody from corporate is listening to this, but
I'm not worried that they are.
For my sake.
I'm still not worried that
I know. Neither am I.
Wrecked.
I think to the extent it continues to be a thing, it has been that, like, at least from my perspective, it has always been a thing we do for our own amusement.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, we really do enjoy that other people like the show and listen to it. And there's also people who, like, come into it and come out of it. Like, when you've done it for this long, there are people who are like, yeah, I'm not into it anymore. And that's fine. Like, it's a long time to sort of be. If you did a television show for 10 years, you'd see a lot of people who would be like, no, I'm not into this anymore. Like, I've moved on. But to the extent corporate was right, and I say that begrudgingly, it really is not like a thing where we sit down and say, like, okay, like, what are we going to give the audience this week? That is a smarter way to run a podcast. That is just not our approach. It's sort of like we are, I think, mostly trying to amuse one another and have a good time while we're doing it. And that, I think, unintentionally gives us an interesting and a little bit of a distinct product to put out there because
it's genuine.
Nobody is ever it never feels like, ah, here they are doing their right. their like forced planned thing. Mm-hmm. That has some real pluses and minuses, obviously. But I think like because we do it for the love of the game, it has helped us, I think, not just keep doing it, but feel okay and happy and excited to mess with it from time to time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're sort of like, oh, okay, well, this is what the show it should be, and therefore we have to stick to that year after year after year. Like, it gives us a little more creative license, I guess.
Absolutely. Just being genuine, right? Doing it because you genuinely enjoy it. And big reason why we started as well. Evan, what do you got?
I got a couple. You kind of answered my... I had one thoughtful question and Matt kind of stole it. And he also said no to all of my other questions.
I did write so, no.
But he can't stop you now.
That's so true. We're doing it live.
I did write
no. So I kind of going off of what Matt said at the very beginning, right? Like part of the reason why we do this is because college football is just so dumb. And like specifically the people who watch it are dumb. Like all of us. We're all sickos. We're all dumb. But it has so much sticking power. So I know other college sports have, I mean, especially we're in March, you know, basketball has its own following. Professional sports are full of their own sickos. But do you think there's anything about college football specifically that makes it like supremely sick and the reason it has such a nasty cult following?
I don't know if this is like makes it sicko per se. I think it does help that, but it's not the only sort of output of the thing that I'm going to dive into here. There are not many places left in sports anywhere where you can get really interesting David versus Goliath moments and setups and stories like that. College sports writ large is pretty much the last one. And there are like, you know, you can look at sort of like, okay, sometimes baseball, you'll have, you know, the Rays or something will make the World Series with a $17 payroll. But even when that happens, it's sort of like, well, that's not a matter of circumstance. They're just cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't like an exciting Cinderella story necessarily. It's more just, you know, an owner who's decided they're not going to spend the way others do. Mm-hmm. But for better or worse, college football still has the setup where you can have App State A&M. Like, that is a thing that can happen. And we know at this point that almost everybody who is at the top of that list, with some small exceptions, but even in the case of Alabama, it's like, well, there's the ULM loss from 2007. Like, that happened. That was a thing. Mm-hmm. But it is not just that it can happen, but it does happen. And it is not – there is enough sort of hope in that that you – whether or not you're, like, rooting for an underdog all the time, but if you just like seeing – one of the last places in sports where you can not have the outcome be almost exclusively determined by resources, or it's just a matchup of like two equally funded, highly efficient groups, and you can sort of get that old school ragtag band of like guys who didn't know they weren't supposed to be there, beating somebody on the road and ruining their whole season because, you know.
Like Texas.
Because that's how we're... Yeah, sure. Sure. Like, that is... I think that is, to me at least, one of the big appeals of it at this point is that you still have enough lack of parity that you can get some interesting outcomes like that. Like, I understand why people think parity is a good thing, and God knows the NFL has engineered it as aggressively as they can. But like, there's no NFL game that is like, oh wow, this is like the upset of the century. Nobody, yeah. You know, if a beaten down Raiders team beats the Chiefs, it's like, okay, it's just 1 week. Mm-hmm. NFL teams lose to other NFL teams. We're just used to it.
Yeah.
And I think to me, at least, that is like one of the lasting, one of the last lasting appeals of the sport. Mm-hmm.
Great answer. I think I'll cast my vote for that. Matt, you're up. What do you think?
What is your perception of the Baylor fan base through the lens that you have experienced them? I am incredibly curious because we have our own, and it is some blend of cynical, endearing, and extreme
grandparent
soccer grandparent energy. And I've always wanted to know, how are we perceived in the outside world?
Be honest. All of this
we said we lie earlier, but we don't lie about everything.
So feel free to lie.
I'll say this first and foremost. I don't remember ever. I've never lived in Texas, and I've never lived close to Texas. I don't remember ever meeting like a Baylor fan in the wild. Like, I don't remember living in New York and being like, "Oh, cool, I met a Baylor fan." Like, I'm sure there were some. It just didn't. So my experience is entirely like internet driven at this point. It largely breaks down into two categories, which are very, very different categories.
I'm very interested to hear this.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm nervous right now.
One category, for purposes of just like ease of use, I will call the like the Our Daily Bears Twitter experience, or just like Baylor Twitter,
yes,
but the fun version.
Sure.
Where like, I think I've just had like purely good and normal experiences. Like, you know, have a chip on their shoulder in the ways that lots of schools do, can be like super aggrieved in the way that lots of schools do, but mostly like, are like, okay,
he's being so careful.
Are having a good time, are happy when the team is good, or sad when, like, just like, kind of normal?
And it's so sad because that's our like just that is our goal, like that's my goal for this fan base. It's just normal.
Yeah,
just
normal. Yeah, yeah. I mean, guy. People. I don't think of like that sort of section of the Baylor internet as like particularly objectionable or weird or like troublesome or anything like that. Like, truly just pleasant and interesting and like, I think have the good balance of will thump your chest and be appreciative when Baylor has a great year, but doesn't need to sort of like, doesn't need to do that thing where I think like the Florida schools all do this a lot, where if somebody else is having a great year, you have to sort of invade their space. Like, I didn't, maybe this happened, and I'm sure it did, but it's not like I saw Baylor fans constantly talking about how, like, no, actually TCU is not that good, and actually TCU's year is bullshit. Maybe y'all thought that, and that's totally fine.
Oh.
But there is a thing where, like,
I was, some schools, I was rooting for TCU. I thought they were pretty good. Yeah.
Some schools can get so obsessed with, like, dragging others down who are having a good year that it's like the only thing they can do if they're not having a good year. And it's just like, this is not fun. This is extremely not fun. Absolutely put your thumb in your rival or opponent's eye when they suck. Like, that's that I'm here for. Mm. The other version of Baylor Twitter is incredibly defensive. And obviously this is like mostly popped up when the Art Briles thing happened, and ever since, whenever it comes back, and is just like almost like, if I'm Baylor, I wouldn't even pay for PR because I have these people on Twitter constantly defending my honor and my name no matter what is happening. And like, that part sucks. That said, this is not fun to say, but that is also a very normal part. Like, any school that has anything truly, truly like capital B real world bad happen, this segment pops up. It happens at Michigan State. It's happened at Penn State. It's happened at USC. It's happened at Florida. It's happened at Florida State. And there is no school you could tell me, it's happened at Notre Dame. If there's no school you could point to and say like, oh, well, they wouldn't act that way. They would like treat it, you know, like, no, there will always be people who the institution and the honor and their feelings for the institution come first, second, and third. But like, there's nothing, I don't know. There's nothing special about how some Baylor fans have acted in that regard.
God bless. That's all I need. Whatever field of view you have your scope on right now, you keep it right there. You don't pan left or right. In. You don't zoom in or out. You just keep it right there, and we're golden. That's
what
perfect.
Am I missing? What am I missing?
No, you are spot on. And honestly, I have long thought. I feel like the way your brain works helps my brain get to a real thought I've had. I feel like that's where I've landed and how I think about your brain, because I don't think about it a lot, but I have.
Okay. Deontay, what am I missing? Right. I feel like I'm missing something.
You have your two groups. You have your X-Packs and your C-Packs.
No, I want to know what Deontay has
said. And you got your C-Packs.
Couldn't have been more perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Okay.
Nailed it. Now, what falls outside of what's in your scope reticle right there
is
how much
Baylor
is on one side or the other. You don't, you don't got to worry about that. It's fine. Okay. What you got the perfect view right there. It's perfect. Is there something that Big 12 fan, this is my last fan question, but they're important ones. Yeah. Sure. A lot of talk about the SEC inside the Big 12 this year for certain reasons, right? A lot of talk about, fans don't know what to expect when they're transitioning from the Big 12 to the SEC. Fair enough. Granted, SEC is a little different. Granted. Is there a lesson that Baylor fans or TCU fans or other Big 12 school fans that are staying put can learn from SEC fans, maybe the Florida fan base in particular? What do we need to do to up our game? Or are there lessons learned that we should do differently?
So I don't think there's a lesson to be learned about what other schools should do differently, because, like, let's take Mizzou as an example. Mizzou has now been in, what is this? We just finished 10 years of Mizzou in the SEC.
No way. I guess you're right.
2012 is when that started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
With A&M, they went the same year, I think.
Yes. There is very little about Missouri, at least from outside. I don't know how Missouri fans feel about it, but there is very little that feels like, ah, oh, they're in the club. They have been like accepted and embraced and like, you know, and that's just one example. I think, you know, you can look at Nebraska in the Big Ten or Rutgers in the Big Ten or Colorado to some extent in the Pac-12. Like this thing where you leave and it will, other than the balance sheet, which is very real, but you will somehow benefit from the thing that you're joining, I think is largely bullshit. Like, I don't think that many schools have pulled it off all that well. And I don't think that's anything they've done wrong. I think it's just hard to do. Maybe that'll change over time, like, as, I don't know. We'll see once we have a Big Ten with UCLA and USC. Like, what does the Big Ten mean?
Oh, man, what is that?
But, I mean, yeah. I think, like, what there is to learn, quote-unquote, is that you should just sort of... You should really just, each school should really just focus on like, what are we doing to make this different and memorable and exciting and distinctive for our fans? Like, there are a lot of things about Florida as a football team, as a university, as a fan base that are not super SEC. The most basic one I can give you is that, like, I don't, like, hardly anybody dresses up for a Florida game. It's too fucking hot,
yeah, exactly.
One thing. But also, like, you don't, most people don't go to Florida because you're like, I really want to wear a blazer a lot. Like, that's the kind of person I, like, those are the people who leave the state of Florida. And so, like, culturally, even though Florida's been in the SEC a long damn time, they're very different. LSU is similarly, like, very different. Kentucky has, you know, its own things going on. And I think rather than sort of focusing on like, well, how do we get more quote unquote SEC? I think they have benefited from leaning into those things. I think why A&M maybe has fit into the group a little better than Missouri is because like, they're very distinct.
It's very distinct.
It's very, you know, they let you know that they are just weird as shit.
Yes.
And they're always going to be that way. And they're not really interested, like, they're not really interested in, like, not having a dog graveyard anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, like, they're going to keep doing that. Yes. And right. And so I think for most schools, I think it's really just about, like, okay, what are we doing that makes it distinct and like, I'll use, this is an annoying way to put it, but like, what is our brand and how do we sort of like make sure that is true no matter what conference we're in? Like BYU joining the Big 12. I'm not worried that like, oh, well now like BYU is going to be really different either in terms of like how they play football or like what they are culturally. Yeah, exactly.
No, not at all. Which is why Baylor needs to just take hold of what is nearest and dearest to us and really just lean into the Waka Flocka Flame thing that we're doing. I think that is at the core of who we are. And we just roll with that. That's exactly what I thought.
I would like Baylor to just like, I don't think, the thing that I think most casual fans or most like maybe people who are not truly focused on either college football or Baylor don't understand is that like, the literal bear is a thing in the same way that like Mike the Tiger at LSU has been a thing. Like there is a part of me that's sort of like, I understand there are practical reasons why you can't do this, but like, no guys, the story is about what these bears, the lives these bears have lived and like how they've come into being and all of that. Like, I feel like that is an angle that more should be put into because it really like,
yeah,
yeah.
I responded to Spencer once on Twitter with a video of the bear on campus after one of the touchdowns drinking the Dr. Pepper. Did you see that? Yeah. It's incredible, man.
Yeah, because like Colorado, before Dion got there, if you asked anybody, like, what do you think about, like, tell me one thing about Colorado football, the answer is Ralphie. Because it's like, you, there are not that many places where you get to see two student managers barely control a buffalo.
Barely pretend to control. That is the perfect way to describe it.
Yes. Yeah.
I agree. We should talk about this Bears more. That's so cool. I got to feed them once. They made me eat the pellets they feed them to earn my feed, and they did stink. I won't out who let me do that. I do have one final question for you, and I am so glad I get to ask you this. Do you think Iowa State will ever win anything ever? Sport?
It's our favorite thing to do is talk about Iowa State.
I will keep it football focused. I know enough about Iowa State basketball that like I've picked them to do not even do that well, like, you know, make it to the round of 16 or something enough years and been just brutally fucking disappointed. Like, I know better. We are talking about a team, for larger context, I think most people already know this, never won 10 games. Not once. Has not happened in program history. Have won 9 games 3 times, and one of those times was in 1906. And so, like, and for again, obvious context, the early, like, 1900 to, I don't know, 1980, that was the time where it was like, yeah, man, a lot of teams could randomly pick up an 11-win year, get a share of a national title, win a, whatever. Like, you can go back and be like, oh, wow, okay. I didn't know that this team had that, like, amazing year in 1917 or some garbage like that. So I guess what I'm saying is Iowa State blew its chances. So I'm not done that yet, though. If time travel is invented, yes, I think Iowa State can win something. I think Iowa State can go back and change something in pre-World War II times. And we'll wake up one day and be like, I don't remember Iowa State having a national championship from the 20s, but like those were dark times. So maybe, yeah, I guess they did.
Baylor did win 10 games in 1980, for the record.
I have a quick follow-up for the room there, because now I'm stuck on this thought. Matt, Deontay, if an Iowa State fan had a time travel machine, what do you think they would do with it? I know my answer, but I don't want to go first because I want this to be a collaborative.
Oh, man.
I'm assuming they'd go back to those 9 wins.
They would they but not for the reason impact, you think.
Though.
The reason they would go back to 9 wins, Deontay, is because I think they would sell high on Matt Campbell. They need to get him out of there. He's a cooked product, and he's only going to lead them into further mediocrity. That's my whole thing. I think Matt Campbell stinks. Wow. It's a lane no one else has carved out, and I've put my flag in it.
It is your lane. That is true. You have carved that.
And I'm right. They should have sold high on Matt Campbell.
I have an alarming read on that. I think, let's assume you're right. I think sustained mediocrity would be great for Iowa State.
Yeah.
In modern football. Yeah. Like, if you are telling me this is a team that, like, more years than not goes to a bowl game, you know, a bad season is like this last season, 4-8 with, like, close losses. If that is the new floor and the ceiling never gets above, like, 8 wins, that represents maybe the most sustained period of success ever in the history of this football program. Ever.
I'm scrolling.
And I think you would take that.
I'm scrolling. That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. I think the correct answer might be they lost. They really got hoed at home against Texas, their Matt Campbell's first year, if y'all remember that. And I think since then, Matt Campbell has been cursed to whine on the sidelines. So I think if they could go back to any game, they should go back to that one and see if they can't get a little Buffalo Wild Wings button action going. Those are my only two things I think they should do.
Agreed.
I have one question.
Yeah.
we talked about how wild and stupid college football is, but say, for instance, they hire you, Ryan, as college football czar, commissioner, whatever. Mm-hmm. What is the what's the first thing you're doing?
I'm throwing away conferences.
Ooh.
And I've talked about this on the Fullcast before, but like, if you go back and look at, I don't know, let's say the 80s, and in the 70s, it's even more aggressive in this way. Conferences obviously existed, but like, there was a big chunk of independent teams. And one of the benefits of having a big chunk of independent teams is like, they could schedule very aggressively because they could say like, well, you know, we don't have like somebody else making the schedule for us. So we can go and play this interesting mix of opponents, geographically varied. And also at the time, because the NCAA controlled for a lot of this history, what games were on television, and there was usually only one game on television a week. They didn't have to think about it from a, like, it was just, we want good games. We want good games that sort of like make our football team better, that give us a good home schedule to sell tickets against. And I think it just like it created better incentive structures. And I would say like, all right, we're done with this. Like, we can still, if we need to sort of like sell the television rights in bundles, we can still do that. We can still sort of say like, you know, ESPN, you're buying 70% of college football and you get this priority order. CBS, you're buying 15. Fox, you're buying whatever. But I would say like the obsession with conferences as business entities and television negotiating vehicles has at this point outstripped whatever sort of cultural value it had. Like once we got to the point where it was like, okay, UCLA and USC are Big Ten teams, it's like that label doesn't mean anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it'll happen, you know, this will happen to the SEC, and like Cincinnati being a Big 12 team will be fine. But it does sort of change, like these labels stop meaning anything, and it becomes more like what a lot of NFL divisions, like, is there anything culturally important to being an AFC South team?
Oh, certainly not.
Right.
As a Texans it's just, fan, it is, absolutely right. not.
It's a functional label to funnel teams into the playoffs in an orderly fashion and make scheduling a little more orderly. So, you know, like, okay, I know these six games. That's it.
Yeah, that brought me to the thought of like Jerry Jones as the commissioner of the NFC East trying to drum up business.
It's just I just find it very boring at this point. And like I would just sort of say like, guys, I regret to inform you that Notre Dame and UConn and UMass all have it right. And so go out there and, you know, the other thing I like about this is the SEC is currently involved in this, like, hair-pulling moment of, oh, well, who are our permanent opponents going to be and this, that, and the other. If I make you all independent, you can figure it out yourself. If it's super important to play Tennessee-Bama every year, you two can work it out. You're big kids, and I believe in you to problem solve. So that would be my move. It would be wildly unpopular, and I'd be thrown out on day two.
Not by us. I think it would kick ass.
Not by us. not by us. I know I'm never playing in Provo again, though, if I'm Baylor. So if we don't ease into football season, I'm going to predict another Big 12 championship, and I don't think I'm ready to do that yet. So I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. Ryan, what are you consuming? You're producing a lot. Very productive individual right now. Lots of audio published on the internet. What are you consuming these days? Succession, I saw, is big for you right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had not watched Succession at all. And maybe 2 weeks ago, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to die. So I've been like binging that very aggressively. Mm-hmm. I'm like halfway through season three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anything else I've been like occasionally. I am in the middle of watching the 2004 John Travolta Punisher film.
I am so glad you brought this up because I was just speaking to a friend yesterday.
Yeah.
There is a song from that movie, a very famous song that gets stuck in my head about every 3 weeks or so. I sing it nonstop for about 18 hours and then it goes away. Do you know which song I'm referring to?
I do not.
Okay. It's the song where the heavyset individual that lives in the apartment next to the Punisher, he sings the Italian song. I can't even remember the name. Fantastic audio. And we'll probably just...
It's an opera song.
Yeah.
I just saw this scene about an hour ago. So yes.
I am so glad I have found the family that I have found because I will go around the house doing nothing, just singing it. And I just had to get that off of my chest because...
What song... Like, here's what's...
La really Donna Mobile.
Yes. Yes. Which is from... It's from a Verdi opera, Giuseppe Verdi.
Yeah, Verdi, from Mobile, rather. Actually.
It's
Donna from Mobile.
So what you're telling me is that one of the most famous people in opera history wrote this music almost 200 years ago, and for you, it's that song from The Punisher.
The other Punisher.
The other Punisher
movie. That song from the Bad Punisher movie. Well, the other Bad Punisher
movie. My second most favorite Punisher movie.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, in a way, that's
I can't
that's
argue
good.
That.
That's, I think that's humbling. I think it's good to remember that, like, art is really about context.
It's how you consume it. It is in the eye of the beholder, some say.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. So far I can tell you it's not a great film and you know that because after the credits, the opening credits, the very first two words that appear on screen are Tampa, Florida. And I feel like at that point
ball one
tone had been set.
Yep.
So, I don't know if I'm, what should I be? Let me flip it. What should I be consuming that I may not be?
The hot thing that just cooled off a bit, Last of Us. Yes. If you have not seen the show yet, I recommend holding off.
Okay.
I recommend playing the game
I have played the game.
Okay. I had to recently play it on the easiest mode because I got very frustrated with poorly constructed
little fingers,
sharp instruments breaking after one use. As the son of an engineer, it bothered me a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
So I took like 2 years away from it, came back, played part one, part two, really enhanced the viewing experience. So if you've played it and you've played part two, I recommend Last of Us. Very, very strong. Truly the best video game adaptation into large format that I've seen.
You haven't seen the Halo movie?
Full Swing on Netflix. Even if you don't like golf or are unaware of golf, which I imagine you are aware of golf to some degree, Full Swing, solid. Got the wife asking questions about Colin Morikawa, which I wasn't super comfortable with, but I did answer them. Those are the main ones. Those are the main ones so far. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend. Evan, you got anything else? Let's let this man go if you don't.
I got a recommendation to watch Silicon Valley, Matt. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Ooh, yeah. I do recommend you watch Silicon Valley. I think it's the funniest show on TV, or it was on TV. It's no longer there. Nope, that's all I got. I really wanted to end on Iowa State stinking it up for a century. So I think I've got everything out of my chamber.
Not a better way. Ryan, where can people find you if they don't already know?
You can find me at Celebrity Hot Tub on Twitter. I'm not Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry for stealing Eddie Murphy valor. I have tried to change the photo.
I was confused about that.
At me. Yeah, it happens. I would much rather be Eddie Murphy. I think that part, that much is clear. And you can listen to the Shutdown Fullcast, which We recorded one today, and to give you a sense of how football-y it is, we mostly talked about weird baseball injuries and a monkey attack island in Thailand. I want to say it's
yeah, that tracks.
So
yeah. That tracks. Next time they start talking shit about incredible Baylor fans, I'll join in, but just let them know. You know,
are we that mean to Baylor fans?
No.
Is that a thing?
There was,
I don't know.
I don't We're even know a lot about men. Warhammer. There was one comment, and I didn't even know what it meant.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know what it meant. And at that point, I was like, they're having fun.
I don't play Warhammer. I don't know what it means either.
The kids are having fun. Let them do what they do.
That's right. As long as they stay in their room and they don't break anything.
Absolutely. Ryan, thanks, man. Truly appreciate
Thank you for having me.